covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
I need another cup of coffee. I need another beer. I need an old fashioned. I need the strongest stuff that I can legally get. What did I just watch? What was that game? What just happened? What? 12 innings, 15, 14, 11 combined homers, 4 hours, 14 minutes long. Wait, oh, wait. Whoa, why did it take me so long to realize that? Is this game really 4-14? How about it? Yeah, it was written in the stars. Come on, of course. Can't lose a game that took 4 hours, 14 minutes. What just happened? The Brewers win the wackiest game of the year. Sharpie that went into the top 10 countdown for games of the year. I'm really at a loss for words, and I'm flying solo tonight, and I'm sure Craig and Augie are licking their chops because Augie's joining the next 2 days, and he's like, wow, I'm glad I didn't have this one. Well, granted, the next 2 days could look like this too. Wow. I don't even know where to begin, honestly, because so much happened in this game that can't be condensed into a middle-of-the-night post-game show. I'm trying to use this knowing a lot of folks are going to be, maybe they went to bed. Now I'll listen to Dom in the morning and hear about the loss. And you're opening up your apps and your highlights and you're like, what just happened? So I'm thinking of those people, and I'm thinking of people with the Insomniacs that are up with us right now. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. I'm in hushed tones because I'm doing it from the home studio. I don't want to wake up the whole apartment or my fiance in the other room, right? So we're trying to do it in a classy manner here in the middle of the night. It's 1:48 Central Time. Thanks for everybody who stayed up late and wants to watch this one. And if you're in the YouTube live chat as well, make your presence known. What a day. I mean, the top comment already, this one from Link, big two-point conversion. Just love it. Just absolutely love it. Look, I will have takes about this ballpark, I promise. We will have discussions and critiques about it. But for a moment, let's put that aside and recognize the fact that with all the adversity and every reason to pack it in and throw your hands in the air and make every excuse you possibly could have for this game, Brewers still won it. They still came back from down 4 runs multiple times in this game. They could have thrown their hands in the air after that, are you kidding me, home run in the bottom of the 10th inning from Jonah Heim. So let me go ahead and give you the spiel, a real quick mini rundown of how this went in case you tuned out when the Brewers were down by 4 when it was the big inning. What was that? The third inning for the A's, when they jumped out to an 8-4 lead right when the Brewers had taken a 4-2 lead. So if you turned off the game at that point, here's what you missed. The middle of this game was actually kind of boring. The Brewers were slowly chipping away. RBI double from Andrew Vaughn, which was clutch. Then the A's responded with a solo homer from Nick Kurtz, the first of his 2 on the evening. So that restored it to a 4-run lead. Then the Brewers got a 2-run homer from Jake Bowers to straightaway center. All right, chipping away. They're only down 2, but then again, the A's respond, getting another run back from Tyler Soderstrom off of Drew Rahm. Then, with the Brewers down in the 9th inning, they needed a bloop, or they added another run in the 8th inning, I should say. Leadoff walk, Renjifo came around to score later in the frame on an RBI up the middle by Yelich. And then a double play ended that inning, which was really frustrating at the time. Or I should say on a wild pitch. It wasn't even an RBI for Yelich. It was a wild pitch that scored the run for Renjifo. Then, so the Brewers are down by 2, heading to the 9th inning. Leadoff single for William Contreras. Walk by Jake Bowers. 3 pitches into the at-bat with Andrew Vaughn. Pat Murphy calls time. Let me go get a pinch runner at first base in case Vaughn finds a gap. So he pinch runs Jake Bowers, the tying run, at first base. The very next pitch, double to left, tie game because of the pinch runner. Now, the frustrating part of that 9th is the Brewers had a go-ahead run on second base with nobody out, failed to score him, next 3 batters struck out. in the bottom of the ninth, no problem for Aaron Ashby, sends this game to extras. In the 10th, the Brewers were slow forming. Placed runner was David Hamilton. He's on second. Yelly singles up the middle, but Hamilton couldn't score. Sac fly scores Hamilton on a poor throw from Lawrence Butler. They intentionally walk Bryce Terang. And then the bomb of the year, William Contreras, 3-0 count, dead center field. It's a four-run frame. Everyone's like, oh my God, they did it. Okay, this was worth it now. And then in the bottom of the 10th, with two outs, mind you, two outs, and a man on second base, RBI single up the middle by Shane Langeliers. All right, you're still up by three. The best they can do is get within a run if Nick Kurtz goes yard. And with two strikes and two outs, he hit a ball above the strike zone, 99, in on his hands, out to right field. That's a tip your cap, oh my God, swing. That wasn't a ballpark. That was an oh my God swing from Nick Kurtz. I don't know how he, A, got enough wood to hit that for a homer, and B, has the strength to do that. But the one that will make everybody lose their mind is the next batter, Jonah Heim, hit a pop-up. I can't express this enough. He hit a pop-up. Every metric we have agrees. Every person in the ballpark says so. Jeff Levering and Josh Maurer said so on the broadcast. There's a pop-up, and the ball's carrying. And the ball's carrying. Oh, my God, the ball is gone, and this game is tied. Crazy. Just crazy. It was a 48-degree launch angle at 94 miles an hour off the bat. Those aren't home runs. But because of the desert air, the elevation, the wind blowing out, it becomes the craziest highlight ever. Both teams go scoreless in the 11th, and the Brewers score on a mad dash at a plate by Christian Yelich in the 12th. And Chad Patrick, of all people, gets the save in the 12th. So if you went to bed, that's what you missed. Holy cow, what a night. Let's get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Garrett in Vegas. Garrett at the game. First-hand account. You're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, first time, long time. Absolutely love your show. So
Thank you.
Back to my hotel, and it was, I was out in right field when that, what you described as a pop-up, and it the air was literally just bringing it all to right field. It was, we talk about a game of like top 10 of the season. And I mean, it was just complete resiliency by the Brewers after that happened. So I mean, the air just got sucked out of the team, but completely Uribe just completely shut it down that next inning. And Patrick, like, it was just incredible. So my voice is completely gone. I appreciate you. Thanks for keeping everybody up, and go Brewers. It was an awesome game.
I appreciate you calling, Garrett. Thanks, and I'm glad you could experience the first regular season game in 30 years in Las Vegas, and there's another one tomorrow, so I hope you enjoy it. And hey, there's plenty of nightclubs you can keep losing your voice at on the Strip that you can go have some fun at, so appreciate the call there, Garrett. Chat's going nuts. We'll address some of the chat. We'll get to, we'll sell, you know, get some bills paid. We'll get to some texts as well. I think the way that we have to start with this game is how it ended, those last three innings. And some crazy numbers from this game that just remind you, the fans, and what we've been saying for a month's time now, wait till the Brewers offense gets clicking when they start hitting homers. Now, they're not going to be playing in Vegas every single night, but just wait. And I think we're starting to see that, and I've got numbers to back it up. 855-616-1620 and the YouTube live chat here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
What a night, what a night, what a night, what a night. I'm a little delirious. Oh my goodness, we're up late. We just hit a legal ID for 2 in the morning, and we're doing a post-game show. Oh my goodness. 15, 14, 12 innings, Brewers get the victory. Wow. A few texts here. This one from the 815, shout out. Oh my Lanta, it was unbelievable come from behind win. Go Brew Crew, get some rest. They may have extra innings for the next game, too. Yeah, you're right about that. This one from the 715. Do you know why or how the Brewers were picked to play in Vegas? I don't know why. The how is it's hard to balance a schedule. And the Brewers, you know, you don't, it's not like you pick to go or the A's audition teams that want to come. But like, I can promise you a couple of things. Like, the Yankees were never going to play in Vegas, or like the Cubs were never going to play in Vegas. Like, some of those big market, you know, kind of guaranteed draws, if you will, weren't going to be the teams coming to Vegas. I mean, it kind of makes sense that it's, you know, Colorado and Milwaukee, like maybe some regional draw for Colorado, and then, you know, make it a vacation for a lot of Brewers fans, it seemed like, down there, like our friend Garrett, who called in a moment ago. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason if the Brewers ask for the ball on this. I'm sure they're regretting it right now, but it is what it is. That game fell over at least seven times. What a gutsy win. Chad Pat has got to be the most underrated player on this team. I agree with that statement entirely. I think right now he is firmly leading the charge in the unsung hero category award for the Brewers. This one from Nick. This game was absolutely worth staying up for. Most combined runs, most combined home runs in a game this season across all of baseball. The fight on this team is unmatched. This one, James and LaCrosse, almost went to bed, but glad I stayed up. Worth the wait. Appreciate all that. Let's get back to the phones. Let me give you some numbers, too, in a moment. Let's get back to the phones as well. Matt in Burlington. Matt, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. Usually, I don't work at nighttime, but I get emergency calls sometimes overnight. So when I get a call at 11:30 at night, I'm not usually looking forward to going to work. So much to my surprise, I turn the radio on. I'm catching the Brewer game. And I got, like, you know, three or four bonus innings to listen to. And it made the trip to my job and back a lot more enjoyable. How long do you think the Brewers are going to be riding this high on? I love their coach. I love his energy. And it just have a mojo about them that I can't quite put my finger on. But they just have a little bit of pep in their step. And I love watching them. They just seem like they're truly having fun. And that they've just got a really good cohesive unit that really gels well. What's your opinion, and how far do you think we're going to go with this? I'll go off and listen to you on here. Thank you,
Matt. Thanks for listening, dude. And I think it's a great question, because last year there was so much talk about the power of friendship team, right? I mean, that's what last year was, just a bunch of smiling, you know, for lack of a better term, overperformers, right? People that didn't think that Sal Frelick was flirting with the batting title. Caleb Durbin was a finalist for Rookie of the Year. Isaac Collins was fourth in Rookie of the Year. Chad Patrick was like sixth in Rookie of the Year. I mean, it was an incredible story of power friendships, of the who are these guys, the, you know, the average Joes, in the words of Pat Murphy. But I feel like this year, it's a quiet confidence where, you know, unfinished business is kind of a low-hanging fruit when you get swept in the NLCS. But the team's pretty much the same coming back, and they know they are in this, you know, window firmly of competitive. They are clearly the class of the division, and they are clearly one of the three best teams in the National League. I'd argue the second best team in the National League. I'm very excited to see that Braves series coming up in a couple of weeks. I describe it as a quiet confidence where somebody's going to pop up. You don't know who. Somebody's going to pop up. And you look at this road trip, right? It's been somebody each day that takes care of business. Jake Bowers on Friday to help that rally out of nowhere off the decks. Saturday, it was Jacob Mizorowski. Sunday, it was Shane Drouin and Bryce Turang. Today, it's William Contreras and Chad Patrick, right? I just think that there's a swagger and a confidence down this lineup that, well, if I don't get it, the next guy's going to get it. And that's what I think is what I see from this team. A few numbers and nuggets here for our little bit of buy or sell here. This was a number that I uncovered that just really blew my mind looking at the runs that the Brewers have scored here in the month of June. So the Brewers have now scored 76 runs already in the first 8 days of June. That's the most in baseball. In fact, the team in second is San Francisco with 43. Okay, so the Brewers have 33 more runs than the team in second place. And then here's the kicker on all this. In the eighth inning or later, okay, eighth inning or later in June, the Brewers have now scored 34 runs in June in the eighth inning or later in this last 8 days, okay? And you may say, oh, well, what about the opponents? Whatever. They're scoring runs. I don't care. 34, if it was just in the eighth inning or later, would rank 10th for the month amongst all of baseball. Just beyond the eighth inning, they have the 10th most runs scored in baseball, regardless of innings for everybody else. But they've scored 76 runs this month. Now, playing in Vegas today certainly helps with their home runs, but they've now hit 14 homers this month, second most in baseball, only behind, oh, of course, the A's, who hit five tonight. So They have also drawn the most walks this month. It's very small sample size, I know. 23 doubles. They had a couple blowouts in here, but the offense is clicking. The offense is healthy, finally. Andrew Vaughn continues to shine. Jake Bowers hit another home run today. Even with a little bit of less-than-expected production from a guy like Yelich and Terang, right? They went a combined 3-for-13 tonight. Granted, they had some key runs scored. Churio gets three more hits tonight. Contreras, three more hits tonight, including the big home run in the 10th inning. Bowers, 2-for-4. Vaughn, 4-for-6 with two doubles and a homer. Are you kidding me? And no punchies? Come on now. This is super impressive that the Brewers, I mean, can get into a slugfest like this. And I was making this comment the other day actually to Vinny Rattino, saying, when was the last time you saw the Brewers win a slugfest where it was like both teams swinging haymakers, right? And this is the first one. And I hope there aren't any more the rest of this series because the Brewers bullpen certainly needs some help right now. But this was quite the win to like take energy and move in the right direction. To say, all right, now you've got this crazy game under your belt. You can do it again. You know you can have that underneath and get things going, regardless of the ballpark you're playing in, right? So that's buy or sell. It's brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you can trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to a plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. I'm buying the fact that this offense is finally looking like it's supposed to, and maybe in a regular ballpark, they score 8 or 9 runs tonight. That's pretty darn good offense. A few other chats here as well. Truly a Little League ballpark over on YouTube. The Haim home run was the most Mickey Mouse homer I've ever seen. That made me chuckle as well. Super fun to watch. Completely different game if played in a regular stadium. Las Vegas is untenable as a location, right? They need a garden hose behind home plate just to soak the baseballs before the ump can get to them. So let's talk about Vegas. Let's talk about why these games are being played here coming up next. And give some kudos to some underrated pieces of the pitching staff as well. Because there's another name that we haven't mentioned yet that deserves your praise. I think if you've been listening to the show, you know who I'm about to mention. Back with more after this. 855-616-1620. On your home of the Brewers, 620. WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back, Dom Catronio. A few more texts. Chef Ed, sleeps overrated. Unbelievable. I'm always listening. Appreciate you, Ed. Joe out in Madison. We should be allowed to call up an extra pitcher since we're going to have a joking gimmick of a series anyway. Good win, though. Appreciate the kind words there, Joe. Crazy Friday night game in Coors Field, but this win takes the cake as the craziest game of the season so far and in recent memory, but total team win. Alert base running by Yelich won this game. Coyote Mike, thanks for reaching out in Colorado. Let's talk about Vegas. Let's talk about why the A's are here. What's going on? Is this the ballpark that they're going to play in? No. Okay. Remember, the A's are currently building a new ballpark down the strip next door to the MGM Grand on the old side of the Tropicana Resort. They are building that to be ready for the 2028 season. The reason why they are currently playing in Sacramento and not Las Vegas is twofold. Number one, do you want to watch this game every night? You know, knowing what they had, mostly not just because about the, you know, conditions of being home run friendly, but the fact that, hey, summer months are coming. You got to play day games. It's going to be 115 degrees. There's no dome, right? There are rules for where you can put it. I mean, I remember the old ballpark in Arlington had special rules for getaway days because it was so dang hot in Texas. So climate is one thing, the reason why they're not in Vegas. The other reason they're not in Vegas while they prepare, like you would think, well, don't you want to like warm up your fan base given there's already a ballpark there? Just play your seasons there while you wait. Well, the media rights deal for the A's is worth somewhere between $70 and $80 million. If the A's had left the greater Bay Area, and Sacramento's not the Bay Area, let's be very clear on that, but there's stipulations within their contract that allows them to still tap into their market on NBC Sports California, that if they went to Vegas, that contract would be shredded up. They're technically also, this is the quiet part out loud that Major League Baseball doesn't want you to know, Las Vegas is a smaller media market than Oakland. In fact, it's technically smaller than Milwaukee. but they're being allowed to move there because they're building a brand new ballpark. But the whole point is that John Fisher and the A's needed to make sure they were keeping their media rights deal with the Bay Area, so they're able to still broadcast in the Bay Area in Sacramento. And the owner of the ballpark for the Rivercats, Sutter Health Park, Vivek, and also the owner of Sacramento Kings, made a sweetheart deal to John Fisher. Go where the money goes. That's how that works. So again, they're not playing. This is not going to be the ballpark regularly for the A's. 8,500 fans are at the game tonight. Okay, it's a AAA ballpark still. And quite frankly, it's too small to be a AAA ballpark, if you ask me. But for the ballpark itself, for it to be that small, like actually that small, not play that small, 2,000 feet up, we need 350 down the lines, and we need 400 to the gaps, honestly. I don't know if the humidor was not working tonight or what, but the wind is always blowing out at that ballpark. And the other thing you got to think about too, because it's a minor league ballpark and only seats 8,500, 8,500 at American Family Field doesn't even get like half of the terrace level. And when you think about that, there is no third level. There's nothing blocking all of that wind. Think about why Wrigley is so unique when we're always paying attention to the wind, because there's nothing enclosing that wind or blocking that wind from coming into the ballpark, right? When you look at Fenway Park, and when you look at Ted Williams' red seat out there where he hit a home run, you know, 500 whatever feet to deep right field, and everyone nowadays is like, no freaking way. You got to remember, when Ted Williams hit that home run, there was no suite level, there was no modern press box. And we have newspaper clippings of that day saying it was one of the windiest days of the year, and Ted Williams hit a ball that caught that jet stream because there was nothing blocking it. There's no third level at Fenway either, and became the longest home run hit, and that a man was hit wearing a hat and it punctured a hole right on the top of his straw hat. That's how we know where he was sitting. We had a ticket and all that stuff. So that third deck does a lot more for wind than you realize, and that's why we might be buckling up for the rest of this series. The thing that blew my mind, though, was just how freaking fast the infield was. And that's something that obviously it's getting baked out all day long, right? There's only so much the grounds crew can do in a place like Las Vegas. It is the desert, after all. It's going to be 115 degrees and nothing but sunshine every single day. And if you're an agronomist, you understand, if you've played a lot of golf, you understand when it's windy 24/7, that dries it out faster too, right? You got U.S. Open, you know, conditions on the infield because it's always hot and it's always windy, so it's only going to get firmer and firmer and firmer. There's not enough water in the world to slow that infield down. The Brewers got exposed on it a couple of times for their inexperience. You also got to remember, it's the A's AAA ballpark, so a lot of those infielders on that team, Zach Gelof of the world, Nick Kurtz's of the world, they've played on that field before. They understand it's a speedster. The Brewers needed to make an adjustment for a day, and hopefully they do so tomorrow. There's another couple folks on the chat just want to address it. People ask, is my dad still with the A's? And the answer is no. We got to do a game together back in 2014. That was his last season, or 2024, I should say. That was his last season with the A's. 32 years in the show. Cut him one short. 32 years in the show, 19 years in Oakland. He did not go with the team to Sacramento, so just makes this one post-game beer taste a little bit sweeter, right? If you know what I mean. Appreciate all the chats and all the texts as well. Who's hot? Who's cold? I just want to give a shout out to a name that I haven't mentioned yet. I know we can talk about Jake Bowers of the Cows Come Home. We can talk about Andrew Vaughn, and we will, I promise. You know whose innings are underrated from today's game? Grant Anderson. Do you guys remember Grant Anderson went 2 2/3 scoreless in the middle of this game after Kyle Harrison gave up the lead? He only allowed one base runner. He retired 8 of the 9 guys he faced with 3 punch. Grant Anderson, despite what the Twitter mob tells you, has been a super valuable reliever for the Brewers. And this is after getting hit by a comebacker on Thursday against San Francisco, right? He's still got the seams bruising to prove it. And this is going back now to the beginning of May and partially having to do with rest in the games that he's pitching in. Grant Anderson now, since the beginning of May, 11 games, 13 2/3 innings, just 9 hits, 3 earned runs. That's a 1.98 ERA and a whip under 1. He's doing his job. He is really doing his job right now. Just want to give him some love right now for the crew. Who's hot? Who's cold? It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Sider makes it easy. Get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home with short and long-term financing options. Call or visit Sider, S-E-I-D-E-R.com today. Families helping families since 1912. Get our player of the game out. We'll hear from Murph. I can't possibly play every single highlight, but we'll play a few of them as we roll on Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
How do you possibly give a player of the game in this one? How do you? Brought to you by International Autos Group. You can drive in a summer in style just like the game's MVP. You can save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. You go to iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. I want to give some love to Chad Patrick. I think he's a great pick. Abner Uribe, after the Brewers failed to score in the top of the 11th, he slams the door in the bottom of the 11th, keeps a zero on the board, forces this game to a 12th. I think both teams are just out of gas in the 11th and 12th innings. After the emotional roller coaster that was the 10th inning, neither team got a hit in the last two innings. So I think there's something to that there. Andrew Vaughn, four hits. I think I got to go with Vaughny. So there's power in the bald. Welcome to the club, Vaughn. He's, man, I had this note for us on the telecast. We didn't get it in today, but over on the TV side, let me pull up this number. But I was just looking what a difference a year makes for Andrew Vaughn, where in his first 90-ish games or 90 or so plate appearances last season versus this season. Okay, so 94 plate appearances last year, he was hitting .149 with a .474 OPS. He had 22 strikeouts and 4 walks. And now today, through 96 plate appearances for Andrew Vaughn, he is currently slashing a .364 batting average and a .974 OPS. With only 10 strikeouts, he's added 6 walks. He's also got 13 extra base hits. Triple shot of the cycle tonight. Should have saved that one that he had in Colorado for tonight. It's pretty amazing that this dude was on the trash heap. White Sox made him available, and he's a Brewer for this year and for next year. Jake Bowers is a free agent to be. That's a conversation to be had. A lot of love for him in the chat that he could be player of the game. I don't disagree. Both are very, very good. But this one, Bill from Madison, can we please, please keep Vaughn and Bowers in the lineup at the same time and alternate Frelick and Mitchell? I think that's exactly what you're going to start to see there, Bill. I think that the fact that Sal has sat the last 2 days against lefties is sort of indicative of that. I imagine you get Churio in center tomorrow, Frelick and right, Bowers and left, give Mitchell the day. And then Wednesday is another righty. So maybe that'll put Mitchell back in there. Maybe Bowers at first, maybe give Vaughn a day, whatever it may be. But you're right. You need to have both their bats in the lineup as long as possible. I just wanted to touch on Kyle Harrison too, because we haven't really talked about him. I don't want to put a lot of stock into today's game. I also never want to make it about the umpires. But Clint Vondrak had a bad day. I want to take that back. He did not have that bad of a day. He missed consistently in the same spot. Now, this time last year, if that exact performance from Clint Vondrak happened, you would be saying, make an adjustment. He's not calling that as a strike. So, you know, make an adjustment. Don't go there, whatever it may be. Like, that's how I look at it. Because when you actually pull up, you can do this on Baseball Savant. When you go to the game page, you can go, there's an ABS tab, and you can see every single pitch that was challenged. And of the pitches that were flipped, I mean, they are all borderline. Okay, I don't want to sit here and go, just because he was challenged 16 times tonight, which is a new ABS era record, does that mean Clint Vondrak had a bad game? No. Does it mean he needs to make an adjustment on that left side corner of the plate? Yes. But it's not like he was missing egregiously over there. I want to give him a little bit of slack here. It's easy to say, oh my God, look how much they're getting this challenge flip. Guys, I mean, we're talking about 0.4 of an inch. We're talking about less than an inch. We're talking about the tip of a ballpoint pen. on some of these, right? Like, I don't want to sit here and go, oh, he had an awful game. There were a few he missed. Everybody misses a few. But I don't think it was as bad as you think it was. In fact, you can even see like how many are within the strike zone. I mean, you can zoom in on this, and you can see exactly how far off the zone it was. And they're both the two pitches that were challenged outside of the strike zone were less than an inch outside of the strike zone. Cut on some slack. Now, were there some pitches that William missed that he could have challenged? Yes, especially in that second inning when the A's got on the board, missed what would have been a strike three to end the inning on Geloff, and then instead it becomes a double back-to-back doubles for him and Aleca Williams. And the other argument, too, is he had Aleca Williams with two strikes on him. It's the 8-9 hitters in the order get the job done, and Kyle didn't. And then home runs aplenty started to come there in the third inning. He walked Brent Rooker, had some poor defense in there, too, from Joey and from Renjifo. And then you blink, and Soderstrom goes yard. That was Soderstrom's. He entered the day hitting a .190 against lefties, and then he hits two homers against lefties today. Pretty crazy. But I'm not worried about Kyle at all. I mean, he gave up 8 runs tonight, and he entered the day only giving up 10 runs on the season. I think we're going to look back and say, all right, well, that was pretty silly to play at Las Vegas ballpark and flush it and move on. It's all good. Robert Gasser gets the nod tomorrow. Let's hear from the manager finally. How about Pat Murphy after this crazy win? We'll talk to him after the break on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers somehow won that game. 15-14 in 12 innings. And oh my God, we have two more in Las Vegas. Oh boy. Robert Gasser tomorrow. Fighting off the yawns. We can power through. We're almost at the end of this. Thank you all for staying up. If you're still here listening, if you're still here watching, go to the podcast, Brewers All Access. Tell your friends about it, by the way. Go drop a 5-star rating. It helps more than you know, wherever you're listening from. Drop a review. Drop a comment. We appreciate you. I have a feeling it's going to be a well-listened-to show, and you know the numbers indicate that you guys are listening. So I really do appreciate every single one of you here at 2:30 in the morning Central Time. Wanted to talk about the craziest game of the year. So thank you to everybody who's in here right now. Now, you've heard from me plenty. Let's hear from the manager. Pat Murphy, after today's victory. Again.
Yeah, the most bizarre game I've ever had in Major League Baseball in 11 years. Never saw anything like it. I mean, so many things happened. There were 16 challenges in the game. 16 challenges in the game. I never seen anything like it, you know. And then have a ball 94 miles an hour, 40, fall out of the park. You know, so very offensive. You got to credit the Oakland A's for what they did. Down 4 in the 10th and to score and tie it. But you got to credit our guys, Uribe and Patrick, for what they did at the end. Kunal's first outing was great, you know, for the most part. And, so many guys contributed, but offensively, you know, 1-6 were incredible. Yelly's base running, you know, Durang's homer, Williams' homer, Bowers' homer, Vaughn, homer and two doubles. But then 7, 8, 9 didn't give us much today. 2-16 is what I've been told. 2-16 with 10 Ks. And the guy that got the two hits, Ortiz, was out of the game. So, yeah, there's so many ups and downs of it, but, you know, you really got to credit, you know, our guys for hanging in there. And the job that Uribe and Patrick did to throw up zeros is very unusual in extra inning baseball. So.
Murph, you can't obviously count anything not happening in this game, but you go up 14-10, William hits that home run. How good are you feeling at that point? Do you
and
feel
you
like
that? Ashby on the mound throwing the ball great.
Yeah.
And then Kurtz hit up and in 99. Check the tape, and he could know it was coming.
Yeah.
And to hit that ball up and in at 99, it shows you how brilliant that guy is and what a future he has. That's scary. I mean, I may never pitch to him again. That was incredible.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, you got to credit them, what they did. And, yeah, usually the visiting team doesn't win this one.
Murph, with all the way the ball flies and how hard the infield looked, do you even take anything away from Harrison's start? What do you judge?
Yeah, I mean, we made two defensive miscues. Brindifo lost the ball in the lights, and Ortiz muffed the ball, bases loaded, no outs. It was double play ball, or at least there's three outs right there. So that any would have never happened. So I think Harrison threw the ball good. You know, the home run is a home run. You know, I mean, in this ballpark today. But I think that home run, Langenier's home run, was earned. I mean, that was a bomb. The other home run he gave up, you know, was earned. But, yeah, I think he would have had a good outing. It's a tough place to pitch.
Yeah, I think one of them days, shake it off. His next one will likely be against maybe Sunday against the Phillies. If not, it'll be Tuesday a week later against the Guardians. We'll see. Two very different offenses, but Kyle will be fine. Let's try to make sense of that game. We're not going to play all the highlights in a 15-14 game. We're going to play the most important ones. As the Brewers come back to win one of the craziest games of the year, a bona fide top 10 game of the year at our end of the year countdown, Brewers get the job done on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho-ho-ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Where to begin on an all-timer tonight in Las Vegas? Now, I'll go ahead and jump ahead. 15-14 was the final score. There was a lot that happened in between. In fact, the Brewers were down 2-1 in the second inning. And Bryce Terang continues to show you, hey, this dude should be an all-star.
2-0 drilled into right center. Majestic blast. Whoa, Bryce Terang, way out of here. That ball left vapor trails out of Las Vegas ballpark. And on a screaming two-run shot, the Brewers are back in front.
That was in the third. However, the A's would respond with a six-run bottom of the third inning, and they would jump out to an 8-4 lead through three. We fast forward all the way to the seventh inning. Both teams have exchanged a couple of runs at this point, but now they're finally starting to see it get late early. And when he does his best work, it's two outs for the most interesting man on the Brewers, Jake Bowers.
Drive into center field. This is way up into the night sky. And back goes Bolte. Watches it sail over the batter's eye for a two-run home run. That's another Brewers bomb here in Vegas. Jake Bowers. They ain't been cheap. That was 457.
Oh, wow. Subtle foreshadowing there from Josh Maurer on the call. The Brewers, though, were still trailing by two as they entered the ninth inning. It all began with a leadoff single from William Contreras. Then Jake Bowers drew a walk. They pinch ran for Blake Perkins during Andrew Vaughn's at-bat. Good timing because the next
and the pitch. And a liner down the left field line. This is going to get down and roll all the way to the wall. Contreras around third. He's going to score. Around third is Perkins. He will score standing up. It is a two-run double for Andrew Vaughn, and the Brewers have tied it at 10 here in the ninth.
So they had a go-ahead run on second with nobody out. They failed to score him, but this game would go to extras. First, it was an RBI single for the – or I should say it was an RBI – not an RBI, but rather a run scored on a sac fly for Jackson Churio. An intentional walk to Bryce Terang. There were 2 men aboard. For William Contreras, who had the biggest green light you've ever seen on 3-0.
He took a rip and he drilled it high and deep into the night. Watch it fly. Goodbye. A bomb of epic proportions for William Contreras on a 3-0 pitch. You had to see it to believe it.
Unfortunately, the bottom of the 10th inning got even drunker than that. For the A's, it was a two-out single by Shea Langeliers that scored the place runner. Okay, no big deal. He's still up by three. Then a two-run homer by Nick Kurtz. You need to go see to believe. Go look at the highlight of that, of where he hit that ball. But it's okay. Bases are empty. You're still up by a run. The backup catcher is coming in to pinch hit, and it's Jonah Heim. This is going
to
be fun.
Has to throw a strike. 3-1 pitch. Swung on. Flied into right.
There's Blake Perkins waiting on the edge of the track at the wall. Reaches up. Goodbye. We're tied. I don't believe it.
That ball just kept carrying. No one could believe it. But both teams would throw zeros in the 11th. Abner Uribe getting the job done there. In the 12th, it was great base running from who else but Christian.
Here's the pitch. And a chopper back up the middle, backhanded by the second baseman. And the throw comes home, and Yelich underneath the tag, and the ball gets all the way back to the backstop as Langeliers couldn't handle the throw from McNeil, and the Brewers take the lead. It is 15-14.
All right, so the old friend gifted the Brewers a run with his wide throw at the plate, so the old friend should be the guy that finally ends this game from Chad Patrick.
Kicks the leg, the 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss! He struck him out! Chad Patrick and the Brewers with a jackpot in game one as the crew wins in 12 innings by a final score of 15-14. You could watch baseball for the rest of your life. You'll never see another one like this one was.
Insane. Truly insane. And the Brewers win. I'm fighting a yawn. I'm trying not to let you yawn because you're going to hear me yawn, and now you're going to yawn. It's 2:38 in the evening. The Brewers did it. It took 4 hours and 14 minutes. Yep, it took 4-1-4. Of course it did. 15 runs on 18 hits, no errors for the Brewers. They left 11. 14 runs on 16 hits for the A's. They had one error. They left 10. The winner is Abner Uribe. There was an opportunity for Ashby to earn his 10th win of the season. The loss goes to Jose Suarez on the other side and a blown save for Hogan Harris. Save for Chad Patrick, his third of the season. Don't think that was on anybody's bingo card coming into the year. All right, let's say goodnight. Let's get out of here. Our Evan and I are very tired. Let's go to bed. Postgame wraps up after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Good night.
Woo. What just happened, man?
God, I hope tomorrow's normal, which it won't be. I feel like that student, what was that student's name? Magic School Bus. That's like, I hope we're on a normal field trip today with the friends. No way. Like, that's how I feel right now. I'm that kid. Like, tomorrow, we just had this epic 15-14 game. It's not like the forecast is any different tomorrow. So, same time, same place. Hopefully, we're not here for 4 hours and 14 minutes tomorrow. Robert Gasser will get the ball on the air at 8:30. First pitch is at 9:05 Central Time. Up against JT Ginn, who's quietly been one of the best stories in the American League. He's got a sub-3 ERA. He was carrying a no-hitter into the ninth inning against the Angels, had that one heartbreakingly broken in Anaheim last month, but he's been solid. He's been one of the pieces that's one of the lone remaining pieces, I believe, from the Sean Murphy deal, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pulling it up right now just to make sure I'm right, which deal he was in. No, he was in the Chris Bassett deal, my bad, 2022 from the A's to the Mets. When Bassett went there on his final year, when the Brewers did, the A's did a full yard sale coming out of the lockout in 2022. Kind of a Charlie Finley-esque, if you will. But JT Ginn, the Mississippi native, Mississippi State Bulldog, he went 6 strong, quality start in each of his last 2 outings. He will be a tough test tomorrow for the Brewers. Okay. We survived. A big round of applause as well to our producer, Evan Witalison, staying up late with us as well, just like you and me. Big thank you to Evan for this was a shift that he picked up from Matt Yazel. So we got a point and laugh at Matt Yazel tomorrow that he got to go hang out and go on vacation. And, you know, he was watching The Miz from behind home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Evan and I are out here working. Okay, Matt, don't you forget it. We're out here. We're the real workers. All right. I do shows from the hotel room. You could have done your show while you were in Colorado. Why not? I'm just kidding. Again, we're on the air at 8:30 tomorrow with the On Deck Show by Menards. Then an hour earlier on Wednesday, we'll still have a post game after that one. That one will be a 8:05 first pitch, so we're on the air at 7:30. Thursday's an off day, Brewers Weekly that night, and then the Phillies come to town Friday, Saturday, Sunday, another off day next Monday, and then the Guardians. Whew, we did it. All right. I can't believe I went that long, but thank you for everyone who's listening this far. Rate the podcast, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your pods. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.